Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 17. Today we're going to do a little bit of a format change. I usually do interviews with experts in the industry or adjacent to the industry, and I'm going to do a few episodes mixed in here that are a bit more like how-to episodes for folks that are new to coworking, thinking about opening a coworking space, or have recently opened one and still have some questions about how things work. So hopefully this will be valuable for anybody who's curious about how coworking works and kind of what the operational aspects were. But I'd love any feedback that you have. If you have any thoughts on the new format, please send me an email at jamie@everythingcoworking.com. If you like the show, feel free, please, to leave us a review over at iTunes. And then if you are looking through the episodes, we're at episode number 17, and iTunes does this funny thing where it only shows unsubscribed people 20 episodes. So once I get past 20 episodes, if you're not subscribed, you won't have access to all the episodes. So go ahead and hit the subscribe button on your phone when you're in iTunes and get subscribed so that you have access to all of them. So today we're going to talk about virtual mail. And I like this topic because I think that people in the coworking industry think it's sort of creepy. And it's something that folks in the business center world have been doing for a long time, and it's really lucrative for them. And they tend to focus on it because in a co-working space, your revenue is limited to the number of seats you can sell, and the number of seats you can sell is finite at some point. But the number of virtual mail memberships you can sell is not finite. So it's a revenue stream that folks in the business center industry will leverage to when they're full, to give them some upside. It's also a nice way to introduce people to your services. And I think the folks in the coworking industry tend to think that's a little bit creepy because these folks are virtual. And how can you really be engaged in the community if you're not coming in as a member every day? Which is totally fair. And if you're in that camp, then you should probably just stop listening and move on to the next episode, which is totally fine. But for folks that are interested, I'd like to share a little bit about how it works and my personal experience with it at Enterspace Coworking, which is the coworking space brand that I also run. So what is virtual mail? So virtual mail is something you would offer to someone who's not a full-time member, doesn't have like any sort of recurring membership with you. Now, in terms of mail service, what I see a lot of folks doing is maybe full-time members get mail service included in their membership, which means they can use your address as their address with a different company name and a different suite name. If you don't use a different suite number, if you don't use a different suite number, Google will come after you for having duplicate businesses registered at the same address. You do not want that. We have some friends in the coworking industry who have had that happen, and it's a major battle to fight. So if you are going to think about getting into offering mail, then make sure you're careful about that. And we'll put some tips on that in the show notes. And the show notes are always on the website at everythingcoworking.com/17 for this episode. So you may include mail service for your full-time clients. A lot of folks also may choose to do it as an add-on. So it's another service that you could purchase along with your membership. And you may do that for full-time customers, members, or you may do that for folks that are less than full-time. So somebody is doing one day a week, or a couple of days a week if you offer those types of memberships. But you also may choose to do it for people who don't come into the office at all. So they don't need a co-working space. Maybe they have a business and they work, they have a full-time job and they have a side business and they need a business address for that in order to get a business license. Or they just want their official business sale not sent to their residence. Or they operate in a different city and they'd like an address in a kind of a hot city like Palo Alto is a very hot address. So we had a lot of demand for virtual mail services there. Chicago also, New York can be in great demand for that kind of thing too. So virtual mail is where you would take someone's mail and process it for them, but you may not see that person. Or you may. So I can talk a little bit about how we handle that at Enterspace. So we'll have someone sign up, and there are a number of ways you can get virtual mail clients. So they may be folks who actually show up at your front door and aren't in the market for an actual membership, but might be interested in the mail service. They might find you online and send you an email and ask you about it if they see it listed as an amenity. Or they could go through a third party that sends business your way. So a few of those examples would be Sphere Mail. And again, we'll include these in the show notes because it may not be clear what their website is based on how I pronounce it. Sphere Mail, just because it's a trickier one, is SphereEmail.com. There's also CloudVO and brokers like DaVinci Virtual. There are lots more, but those are just a few examples. So none of those are co-working spaces in themselves, but they are a network. They put together a network of business centers, co-working spaces, that type of thing. And they create demand for virtual mail at your location. So they will do Google ad campaigns and other online advertising to create demand for virtual mail. And then they will, if someone wants an address in Chicago, for example, they will send that client over to me and take a cut of that monthly revenue. So there are a couple of different ways there to get the demand. How do you process that mail? So you get a piece of mail, and it depends on which, which service you're using. So we use a couple of different ones. We use CloudVO and we use Sphere Mail. So for Sphere Mail, we can also generate that demand on our own and use their system to process the mail. So they have an online portal that you use. You go in and you enter in some fields sort of relating to what type of mail it is, who it's from, what date you received it, etc. And the system then notifies the virtual mail member that they have a piece of mail and what it is. And then that member can use the portal to tell you what to do with that piece of mail. So you either hold it and they can pick it up, you shred it, or you can forward it for an extra fee. So how much do you charge for virtual mail? So there are different packages and it really depends on the location. So I think the Palo Alto market will demand something like $95 a month, and the Chicago market is more like $49 a month. So it just depends where you are. You can look at our packages, at least through Sphere Mail online. If you just Google Interspace Chicago Sphere Mail, again, that's SphereEmail. You can just go ahead and look at our packages online and someone can sign up right online. So you can kind of see what's included. We go ahead and include a discount on day passes and conference room time, which gets to kind of my next topic, because we actually want to try to shape a little bit how the members interact with us. So if they're in the market for space or for a community, then we want to give them some motivation to come into the space. And we actually see that with a number of our virtual mail members, which is why we actually enjoy this service. And we've seen folks that start as virtual mail members. Maybe they're just starting a business and they've gotten a business license and they decide they need to get an address. So they get a virtual mail package. They're not ready or can't afford co-working yet. So they'll sign up and then we'll create a relationship with them, and we put them on our newsletter list. We put them on one of our member lists, so they wouldn't get all of our news, but they get invited to happy hours and other all member events that we think are appropriate for our lighter users. So we try to engage them in the community and make them part of that. And we've seen folks upgrade and join the community when they're ready, which is really neat. And I think that's why we enjoy it and we don't think that it's creepy. It also is certainly an extra revenue source. So, co-working spaces, especially when you're getting started, you're kind of looking for various ways to get your revenue up and running. And one of the tricks to the virtual mail piece is if you're in a major market, then there can be a lot of competition for it. So if you're going to try to advertise it by doing something like a Google AdWords campaign, there's a fair amount of competition for that, so it can be expensive. But if you work with some of the brokers that can send business your way and they just take a cut of it, then that can make a lot of sense. And slowly over time, you can build your membership that way. Covered some of the advantages to virtual mail. What are some of the disadvantages? So it takes time for your community managers to process the mail. And if you did start to get a high volume of it, you may decide it's not something that you wanted them to spend time on. Or you may hire more of an operational person who's focused more on that if it's profitable, rather than having your community manager spend time on it. And I think, you know, the only other thing would be if, you know, I don't know, if the folks coming into the space somehow didn't match the type of member that you're looking for, which may be the case if you're in, you know, more of a niche space, then maybe this is not something you would choose to do because you'd want only sort of a certain, you know, somebody with a certain background to come in. Like if you're a, I don't know, a maker space, for example, then maybe you wouldn't do a virtual mail service because then you just have more of a general population showing up at your door. But if you're more of a general co-working space and, you know, you take kind of a mix of freelancers and corporate folks and tech people, then maybe something you want to do. Take a look at the show notes so that you can see some of the resources I mentioned. And the notes will include kind of a summary of what we talked about here. And if you have any questions, certainly throw a comment onto the show notes page or email me at jamie@enterspacecoworking.com. The other thing I wanted to mention is I created a downloadable PDF that is 10 must-have tools for starting your co-working space, and SphereMail's mentioned on it, along with a number of other resources that we'll mention in future episodes. So if you'd find that helpful, then go to everythingcoworking.com/17download, and you can opt in and download that PDF resource. Thanks. I hope this has been helpful. If there are other topics you'd like me to have covered, definitely shoot me an email. Again, that's jamie@everythingcoworking.com. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.